A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll hear about two upcoming events geared at providing opportunities for young people to perform and enjoy classical music. The Hunterdon Symphony will perform a new work by its conductor, Lawrence Corsar, at its Young People's Concert, and I'll speak with him about the work. And in Trenton, the Capital Philharmonic is hosting its first Youth Orchestra Festival, bringing together three New Jersey ensembles, and I'll speak with Philharmonic Board Chair Gloria Tatey and James Bouchong, Director of the Patriots Arts Coalition. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Emily Mann, the award-winning playwright and director, will retire as artistic director of Princeton's McArthur Theater at the end of next season, capping off three decades at the theater. Known for her dedication to including works by and about women and minorities, Mann also boosted the profile of McArthur, which in 1994 won a Tony Award for Outstanding Regional Theater. Mann herself has been nominated for Tony Awards twice as a playwright and director and has received a Peabody Award and a Guggenheim Award, among others. Some of her own works include Having Our Say about the Civil Rights Movement, Hoodwinked, which examines issues surrounding terrorism and radical Islam, and Gloria, A Life, about Gloria Steinem, which is now running off-Broadway. McArthur plans to announce program details about Mann's final season at the theater in March. The Philadelphia Orchestra, Seattle Symphony, and Boston Symphony Orchestra are among a growing number of artistic organizations offering free tickets for furloughed workers as the federal government shutdown nears a full month in duration. Boston is offering two complimentary tickets to workers for its programs through January 29th. The Philadelphia Orchestra is offering two tickets for Thursday and Friday subscription concerts, and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra offered tickets for several of its performances this past week. According to the League of American Orchestras, the shutdown may delay the issuing of visas for international artists scheduled to perform in the U.S. and cause delays in the regular grant planning process of the National Endowment for the Arts. And finally, questions about the future of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra continued as the musicians' contract expired this past week without any movement toward an agreement with management. According to the Baltimore Sun, the musicians said in a statement that their request for an extension of a previous four-month extension granted in September was refused. The paper also said that the administration said it will continue operating under the terms of the expired contract. Management is looking for musicians to perform 40 weeks a year instead of a full 52, which musicians say would slash salaries and benefits by at least 20%. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Getting young people interested and involved in music, particularly classical music, has long been a goal of orchestras, a mission that has taken on more urgency as concerns grow about the future of the classical performing arts. Today, we'll hear about two such initiatives around New Jersey. First, we turn to the Hunterdon Symphony, whose next concert for young people on February 2nd will feature the premiere of a work by its conductor, Lawrence Corsar. Based on the fairy tale of the Gingerbread Man, the work is similar in style to Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, introducing young listeners to the orchestra's brass section. I spoke with Corsar about the work and how he hopes it will inspire children to explore music.
When we did a concert a couple years ago of Peter and the Wolf, Richard Rogalski was the narrator, and also he's an illustrator, has actually won the Caldecott Award, and he designed the poster for our concert. So in preparation for that event, I went out and looked at some of his books. And when I came across the Gingerbread Boy, there's five characters, and immediately I saw the potential for the five members of a brass quintet being featured at different characters of the story. So the story is of a older couple who have no children, and the wife bakes up a gingerbread boy, and the gingerbread boy comes alive in the oven and runs out of the house the famous line is, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. There's a gingerbread man. And he runs out. And in this version, he goes into the city and the music turns to like a city situation. And then the first one that comes across is the rat who I gave to the first trumpet player. And the joke behind that is first trumpet players are always stealing other trumpet players' food and gigs. So I demonstrate the trumpet, you know, characteristics of a first trumpet rhythm and technique. So I'm showing up that part of the trumpet playing. And next, he runs into construction workers. First, the lonely construction worker, which is portrayed by the tuba. And in this situation, I gave a demonstration of how the tuba can play low, and then also a singing kind of melancholy quality to singing in the middle, the high register on the tuba. And then the construction workers join the lonely one, and then there's like the driving tuba part. And that music goes. And next, he runs into the jazz musician down in the subway. He runs into the subway, and at that point, he hears different subway musicians and finally hears the jazz musician. And this gave me an opportunity to show off jazz trumpet with the different muted sounds. And so I have him playing a harmon mute. I also have him using a plunger mute. So show off the jazz part, that part of the trumpet. And then he runs into the subway, comes into the station to hear the subway music. And he runs away from there. And then he runs into the gingerbread boy, runs into the policeman and fireman. At that point, it gave me an opportunity to demonstrate the sounds of the trombone and his use of a slide. So I actually have the trombone player imitating a fire, a siren going off, and also creating, because the trombone can do quarter tones, I actually have the trombone player making the Doppler effect of like a European police car going by, and then the music is then follows is that kind of animated fire rescue kind of situation. And then after that, the final character is the fox, and the fox is now portrayed by the horn, French horn. And the fox, of course, just like all French horn players who think they're the smartest, tricks the gingerbread boy and eventually eats him. And all the while, all these characters are also continuing to chase him until that moment. And then at the very end, after being eaten, he bakes up again in the oven and runs away, and the music follows him to the end of the piece.
So what was the biggest challenge in writing a piece, particularly something that you wanted to capture the attention of young people?
The challenge for me was not so much the music, was actually coming up with a way to get the job done. And I have to say, I read this book by Cal Newport called Deep Work. And in it, he talks about creating a portion of your life without distraction. And it's okay to be bored. And so for 4 hours, I would have set up a time where I would just compose. And then another thing he suggests is, was after that 4 or 5 hour period, you're not allowed to go back to it again that day. And you come back the next day ready to go. And I'm telling you what, that was the key to me getting this done. Because I typically would write for 6 to 7 hour period, a couple days in a row, and then it get kind of burnt out. And this way, I really was able to get it done. So I have to give a kudos to that.
And what are some of the things that you will be that you think the children will find most engaging and most interesting?
Well, I think it's kind of fun to hear, like I have the construction workers come on and you actually can hear like the drills and you can hear the jackhammers. You actually hear the trucks, the music all stops and you hear the sounds of a truck backing up and stuff like that. And then also the whole siren thing with the trombone and the slide is a lot of fun to see the slide moving up and down. And they can hear that, and also the different styles of music. It's all—it's not all the same style throughout the whole piece, so it's a variety of pieces. So I've actually played it to some of my students, and they like a lot of it. And of course, they don't like the rat, but the rat they're not supposed to like. So.
Though I guess they can't be too happy with the fox either, because it eats up the gingerbread man.
Believe it or not, they like the fact that the gingerbread man gets eaten by the fox. That's what they like.
So now, obviously, you've gotten a little bit of young person's feedback. What context and what exactly has it been like to watch students watch this for the first time or listen to this for the first time?
Well, it was interesting. They were very engaged in it, so that made me very happy. You know, it wasn't like they were getting distracted. They were engaged in it, so that's the most important thing for me, is whether they seem to really be engaged by the piece. So I was very happy to see that happen.
And was this in a rehearsal context?
Actually, no. I actually had to listen to it on a computer. You know, the rendition from Sibelius, which, you know, they got computer sound. So I just played that. They have not heard it live yet.
Now, I understand that this will be part of a family concert. What else will be on the program?
Well, we have a food theme going on. So we're doing the Love of Three Oranges March. We're doing the prelude or the overture to Hansel and Gretel. And then I'm doing three movements from the Tchaikovsky Nutcracker, you know, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, a piece that people don't usually know. There's actually a movement called Chocolate, and the Waltz of the Flowers. And then I have a solo piece done on an xylophone, and that brings us to the Gingerbread Boy. So we have a food theme going throughout the program.
That was Lawrence Kursar, conductor of the Hunterdon Symphony. Its concert for young people, featuring his work Gingerbread Boy, will be held Saturday, February 2nd at 3 p.m. at Clinton Township Middle School. More information is available at hunterdonmusicalarts.org. As for students already involved in music, three New Jersey youth orchestras will be coming together January 26th for the first annual Capital Philharmonic Youth Orchestra Festival at Trenton's Patriots Theater. The festival will feature the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra, the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey, and the Bravura Orchestra. Gloria Tatey, president of the Philharmonic's Board of Trustees, said the festival grew out of the orchestra's desire to provide greater performance opportunities for young musicians and to keep them interested in performing throughout their life.
We wanted to do something where the kids might have the opportunity to play on this stage of this absolutely magnificent theater. So many orchestras who have come into the War Memorial and played on the Patriots Theater stage have said, this theater is one of the most magnificent theaters to play in. Everything is just acoustically right. And so we got this idea of giving young, well-advanced students the chance to get on the stage and have this opportunity to perhaps then get the bug, if you will, to maybe consider staying with the arts and staying in music. And when they leave high school, perhaps pursuing their education in music. A lot of kids spend many, many years, you know, they start when they're 6 or 7. Some of them drop out at around 10 or 11. They say, oh, I don't want to practice anymore. Oh, it's too much time. And we managed to, you know, to hang on to a handful who, either through their parents' vigor or through their own, you know, interest, hang on through high school. And then when they get to college, there's no music teacher in, you know, a regular college setting, and they drop off. And so our interest was to try to entice them to maybe consider continuing some form of music education. Some will go into teaching, and some will go into music in some form. But this was a way to try to entice them to maybe considering, you know, music as a career in the arts, the performing arts. So we chatted about it for a while, and then, you know, we got to thinking, well, a good way to do this would to try to bring a few orchestras together and have a festival and have one orchestra play for another orchestra and, you know, see what different orchestras do.
What will the format of the performance and then the critique involve?
Each group Central Jersey Orchestra, and then the Bravura Youth Orchestra, and then the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra. That's the three groups will come together, and they will each have 30 minutes to play a program of their choice on the great stage of the War Memorial, Patriots Theater, and the other two groups will be in the house listening, along with adjudicators. I call them adjudicators. They will not be judged against each other, but they will be given comments about the music they've chosen, how they play it, how they approach the stage, how they approach the music, how they watch the conductor. I don't know what the adjudicators are going to say to them. After 30 minutes, the first group will peel off, and the second group that's in the house will merry-go-round up onto the stage, and the second group will rotate around, and the first group will go to the audience. So it's going to be like a circular kind of merry-go-round, and we'll hear all three over a three-hour period. So every group will have a half hour to perform, and each group will be able to listen to the other group and hear what each other are doing and watch how each conductor handles each orchestra. And, you know, it's a learning experience. It's a listening experience. It's a broadening experience. And at the end of each performance, each of the adjudicators will say something, and then their comments will also be written down and given to each conductor, and they'll be taken back. There won't be a best among the three. They'll be equals amongst themselves.
I understand also that several individual students will also be chosen to kind of move forward into another event?
Yes, and this is really the, for my part, the epitome of the of this festival. 30 of these students will be chosen to by their conductors and, you know, by their performance and by their spirit throughout this whole event, by this whole festival, during the preparation and during the festival itself, to sit side by side with the principal on the evening of May the 4th to play with the orchestra in concert. So the first violinist will sit next to our concertmaster, and the second violinist will sit next to our principal second violinist. And all around the orchestra, each one of these kids will be performing in concert with one of our professional musicians in the Rienzi Overture and then in the Respighi Fountains of Rome. It's just a glorious piece of music, and we're going to have trumpets coming from the balcony and trumpets coming from the stage, and that will be all enhanced by the students that are selected to perform with the audience, with the orchestra. What an amazing experience for high school students to have the opportunity to play on stage with professional musicians at this level of their education. You know, this is what I'm hoping will be the trigger that might encourage some of these kids to stay with music and to be encouraged to pursue music into their postgraduate years in college.
How do you see this fitting into the mission of the Capital Philharmonic?
Well, our mission is to bring classical music and the art back to the city of Trenton. And, you know, it used to be such a positive force in the city of Trenton when the Greater Trenton Symphony Orchestra was so vital during the days of Mary Roebling, and when the arts were part of the cultural hub of the city of Trenton. And money and support for the arts were not an issue. Now that's, even in the schools, when anything is cut, the first thing is cut is the arts. And the same thing is true with the performing arts, not only here in the city, but all around the world and in the nation. You read in the paper every week in the New York Times, Pittsburgh, Chicago, San Francisco. It's just every symphony orchestra, the Metropolitan Opera, they're all struggling to stay afloat and trying to be inventive and creative in doing that. And so our goal is to try to do the same thing and to make sure that we do it with education in the process. And education is always our mold is to bring it into the schools so that it doesn't get lost. So that's our goal, really, is to nurture the youth so they have an interest in music and in instruments and in the art.
That was Gloria Tatey, president of the Capital Philharmonic's Board of Trustees. The festival is also being spearheaded by the Patriots Arts Coalition, a new organization dedicated to bringing more events to the state-owned Patriots Theater in Trenton's War Memorial and helping it better serve the local community with meaningful events. A lush 1,800-seat venue built in 1930, the theater in recent years has seen its performance offers dwindling, and Coalition Director James Bushong said the festival was a great example of the types of community-oriented events the theater could support.
We're bringing three different youth orchestras together at the Patriots Theater at the War Memorial in Trenton. These youth orchestras are independently operating. So they're outside the school system. They give students a chance to advance their skills beyond what they would learn in school. And by bringing three of them together, we were creating a really great sense of unity through music, which I think is one of the best parts of music, is how it can unify people. And here we have an opportunity to bring three different youth orchestras together and really celebrate that sense of unity and love of orchestra.
Now, what made that a good event to fit the mission of the Patriots Arts Coalition?
That mission, in a sentence, is basically to help people achieve purpose through the arts. And anytime we're dealing with youth development and helping them build courage and confidence, that certainly is a very purposeful thing to do. And so this type of event fits very well within that context, as well as the broader version mission of is really to try and bring things to this grand theater we have in Trenton and things that involve the community and just really celebrate community, celebrate unity, celebrate music. And so bringing an event like this to the theater fits very well with that as well.
How are you fitting this into your marketing and promotion of both the event and Patriots Theater in general?
Basically, we're trying to make it a great day for the kids, the performers, but I'm also trying to make it a Trenton-based event, so try and invite the civic groups in and around Trenton. And one of the programs I came up with to help do that is called Music and a Meal. So we're helping about 150 kids living in difficult circumstances in and around Trenton to be able to come and to attend. They'll get a nice warm lunch, catered lunch at the theater, and then be able to sit and watch the student performers on stage. And my nonprofit has partnered with five different civic organizations that have been operating in Trenton for years. And we just wanted to create an opportunity so that it brings the performers, who by and large live outside of Trenton, bring them to the city on this grand stage, but then also make it include Trenton residents, especially the children, because this is a youth orchestra festival. It's a great opportunity to help inspire them, help them feel part of a larger community. My nonprofit will make sure that any child who is inspired enough to want to learn an instrument, we'll be able to put them in a program that's already in Trenton. Or if they play already and they see, wow, those kids on stage are so amazing, I would really like to advance my skills to that level, then my nonprofit will make sure that we try and connect them to be able to literally join one of the youth orchestras that'll be performing.
Patriots Theater certainly has been underutilized as an asset, as a resource in Trenton in recent years. What do you envision as the role that it can play in serving the local community?
I personally believe that it can be a great epicenter of community. In my particular thing, if you will, is the performing arts. And again, it really is such, it's such a unifying thing. And almost everyone likes the arts. And so if we start with the fact that we have this grand theater, it's big. It seats about 1,800 people. So there's plenty of room for bring people from inside and outside the city. And that's really my vision, is to create events that interest people and make sure everyone feels welcome and included. So there's so much space there. And why not bring everyone in who would like to attend? Make sure they're aware of events. Make sure they feel welcome and included. Make sure nobody feels like it's not for them. I don't subscribe to that. I think everyone should be able to make their own choice and decide what they like themselves. And so my goal is to bring about 6 events per year to the theater. And something like this youth orchestra is a really great example. But then also try to bring other things that interest different forms of performing arts that interest, you know, there's so many different forms, so not everyone likes one particular thing. And so bring 6 different performances a year and make them purposeful, like what I've been talking about, and community inclusive.
What does this first season look like? Or I shouldn't say, is this the first season?
Yeah, this is my first year of operation. That's exactly right. We had a wonderful production, and I know you know very well, Rachel, because you performed in it in November. That was the Westminster Community Orchestra and Choir. We also included the Glassberg Vocal Ensemble and Ewing. There was 135 performers on stage, and we were highlighting a masterpiece composition done by a local composer at Westminster. That's another great example of, we have such great art in our region, and if we have an epic performance like that, why not bring it to this epic theater? And that's exactly what we did. And I think everyone who attended really enjoyed it. So that was the first one. This youth orchestra is the second. The Capitol Philharmonic is performing a tribute concert to great African-American composers on February 24th. And my nonprofit's goal for that is to also include the Trenton community. What better way to experience positive role models, feel their heritage through the power of music. And so it's going to be a much more powerful event if we can include the Trenton community in that. So that's 3. I have some ideas for more down the road. But of course, my nonprofit and myself always open to hear ideas that are suitable. We just have to understand it's a big theater, so it should be something that draws 500 or more people, and I think it's reasonable to bring to that grand stage.
That was James Bouchon, director of the Patriots Arts Coalition. The festival will take place Saturday, January 26th at 2 p.m. at Patriots Theater in the Trenton War Memorial. You can find more information at yofest.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you on Atempo each week, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.